Steve Weeks here, the lean, mean board gaming machine. You're tuned in to League Radio. Listen to the League, listen to the League. We're on Touchy Club. Listen to the League, listen to the League. We're on Touchy Club. Get your game on, pull your game out. Give me your best and then shut your mouth. Listen to the League, listen to the League. We're on Touchy Club. Listen to the League. Where's the, who is the clown? Where is this clown that said that, what was he talking about? Oh, how board games, I think it was a guy on the first podcast talking about how board games, it sounded like I was trying to start a fight on board games. Girly board games. Girly board games? I don't know. Look, pal, I don't know what in the hell you're playing, but... And by the way, I don't know how these board games, playing board games, turned out to be something girly. Sure, there's little Strawberry Shortcake and Candyland board games, but everybody knows those are for kids. Come on. Everybody knows those are for kids. Now, you want to see, take a look at John Wayne, the movie McClintock. Look at him playing chess in that movie. Is that a girly board game? I say no. Take a look at John Wayne in the Western El Dorado playing dominoes. That's anything. The best Western ever. Playing dominoes. Look at, who else we got there? Look at James Bond in Octopussy. Roger Moore is James Bond playing backgammon with the Major in Octopussy. He's no pussy. He's playing a man's game. Jeez, girly board. Look at Barney Fife in the Andy Griffith Show playing checkers. I mean, these are men. Men playing board games. I don't know where this gets into being girly, all right? But board games, look, the fact is, if White Earp was alive today, he'd be playing White Earp. Okay? All right. And we're going to talk about some of my favorites. Take that. Aggressive card games. And by the way, this is not an encyclopedic reference on Take That card games. All this is some of those card games that fit that genre that I have experience with. And I want to share with you. I've had luck with. Some I haven't had luck with. Some mediocre. And that's the way you guys can help participate when you... If you want to include something that you think will fit in this category that I haven't seen or I haven't played, feel free to add that, because that's what we're talking about tonight, these aggressive, take that, kick butt card games. Now, I want to start with, let me take my favorite of all time and one in my game groups, all my game groups, that gets fantastic response, all right, and still gets demand to be played. The people still want to play it. It's called Family Business. Now, this has been reissued, but I highly recommend this. I highly recommend you get the older version. And there's a reason for this, and we're going to go into that in a minute. Now, let me tell you, my experience with Family Business is interesting, because it is what started my game group at the workplace where I work. Now, you talk about an aggressive guy. There's a guy there named Pete. He's from Puerto Rico, Hispanic, real tough guy, into cars. He's a man's man. You know, he's into the cars and all kinds of stuff like that. One day at lunch, he's over there killing time, playing Trivial Pursuit with some people. And you talk about a game that has, as you people in England say, has had its day. Trivial Pursuit, I'm thinking to myself, doesn't this guy know any better games than this? Okay, so I'm thinking of that. So I keep that in the back of my mind, right? Now, over the next couple of days, we get into, he and this other guy over here, they're in the discussion about The Godfather, right? Now it begins, I begin to put two and two together. He likes, you know, he likes games, and he likes The Godfather, which most men do, right? So one day I take a chance. I bring in family business. Hey, you guys want to try this? It's like a Godfather card game. So I convinced them to try it, and they loved it. They loved it. And what it is, if you're not familiar with family business, let me tell you this. Each player has a family, basically. Cards of their family. Some of them are like the Capone families in there, the New York mob. Some of these are based on actual mobs from history. And what happens is it's a card game, and the basic element of play there is a guy... is on your turn, you can put out a contract. You play a contract card, is the basic maneuver in the game, on somebody else's family member. So I'd say I play put out a contract on a family member, and this family member goes up against the wall. Now, what the wall is a line. These guys are lined up ready to be executed. The contract's out on them, but they're not dead yet. So you still can save them, pulling off the line. It's a great, great card game. There is a lot of luck. I'm sorry, you Euro gamers. You can cry all you want. There is luck in the game. Oh. But it doesn't kill it. Let me tell you the great, great part of this game. You're making deals. You're making alliances on the side. But the funny thing is that these alliances don't last, because as the families get wiped out, it's going to come down between two of you, and only one's going to survive. So that's what's the real fun of this game. There's nothing more fun than getting a lot of family members up on that line and starting a mob war. And incidentally, a mob war is when the guys start getting executed, and they go down the line just like in the order. And there's all kinds of different cards where you can change the order of the line. It's a lot of fun. And when you got a lot of guys on the line, there's one powerhouse card that says St. Valentine's Day Massacre. You play that card, wipes out the entire line, and you talk about just watching people's face drop when that happens. It's all kinds of negotiations. The guys that I played it with, they loved it, and it's just, I consider it really the one of the best take that aggressive card games out there. There's others out there, sure, and don't be telling me, oh, that's not the best. But, you know, I realize this is an opinion, but the experience I've had, and listen, a lot of people, even girls enjoy this game. They really do, because it's funny, and they've won it. I played it the other night with a brand new guy in the game group, and he won. And I mean, we've played dozens and dozens of this family business. Now, I was telling you earlier about it did come back into print after being out of print for a long time, but they made a huge, listen to this, they made a huge mistake on it. The cards have written text on the cards that it kind of explain what each card does, and I understand with this new version, I haven't seen it, and this is just what I hear, that they omitted that. Which means you got to look in the rule book, and whoever put this out, I can't. The name of the company escapes me at this moment. But you need to recall it, just like they recall the cards, and do it right. Okay, do it right. Put the text on the cards. Yeah, and I hope the card stock, because that is a pet peeve of mine. This card, this cheap ass card stock that these companies put out to save a buck. Put out the good card stock. People will buy the game. Have confidence in your product that it will sell. Give us top-notch card stock. But let me tell you something, folks. This family business is a great game. And that kind of is a segue into the next game I want to talk. There is a very similar game to family business, all right? And it's called Guillotine. From the French Revolution, what you do is chopping off heads. And I know that sounds morbid, but it's actually done the artwork is kind of funny on this, these cards, because it's done in a very pleasing cartoon, funny manner. And this is different. This is kind of, it takes it a step away from, it's similar, but you have one line of nobles. These are nobles from the French Revolution that are being executed, okay? And they have point values on the nobles. And what you have a hand of cards that have different text to rearrange the line. You're rearranging the line. So on your turn, you can play a card, and then you take the next noble in line. So what you want to try to do is tweak the line, rearrange the line to where the more valuable nobles are up front, okay? And then whoever has the most points and nobles wins. There's all kinds of funny things in this. And the nobles, some of them have different abilities. Some of them are really funny, too. There's a guy called the Piss Boy that's on the line, too. Marie Antoinette, there's a Let Them Eat Cake card. It's very thematic, and it's a fun game. I've heard a lot of people say they prefer Guillotine over Family Business, but I don't. And I'll tell you why. Because at the end, you're counting up points, and you're adding up your points, and it's kind of anticlimactic ending. In Family Business, there's more drama. You see somebody's family coming down to three members left, two members left, one member left. And at the end, you instantly know who wins. But on Guillotine, you're counting, and you can kind of tell. Some games you can tell who's ahead, but at most of the times you end up adding points on the point values of the nobles, and it's not as effective, in my opinion now. It's not as effective as Family Business. It's a good game. Both of them are good games, but I highly recommend take that category, Family Business, as your number one, should be on your list as a number one acquisition, because it is a great game. Now let's keep moving along here. Another take that card game that I've played an awful lot of is Bang. Bang, I have mixed feelings on Bang, I have to tell you. And that's rare for me, because I'm usually pretty black and white on these games. But if I have to go black, I take that. It's not really mixed. I'm leaning. The problem with Bang is that every time I played it, it comes off as kind of dry. And you think, this is a game where one person is the sheriff, and it's got that werewolf element in it. If you guys played Werewolf, you don't know. You know who the sheriff is, but you don't know who the outlaws are. There's deputies. There's a renegade. So you don't know the identities of the other characters. And each character has a goal. The sheriff's goal to kill the outlaws. The outlaws to kill the sheriff. The renegade to be the last one alive and then kill the sheriff. You know, there's different. So more. And also on this game, the one thing I don't like is more than one person can win. The outlaws can share victory. I usually prefer a game that has a single, solitary, definite winner in it. And Bang, that does not happen. You would think a game like Bang that had shooting, that has cards with beer in it, beer cards. Let me have a drink right now of beer. A game with beer cards comes across as dry. I don't know what it is. And this is an element. Sometimes, you know, you can't pinpoint exactly what's wrong with a game. I call that, you know, kind of the game's mojo. The game's mojo in this is just comes across as dry. It could be the artwork on the card is kind of bland. That could be part of it. There could be other elements like people sharing victory. Or there's also the problem with this game is that it's got all of these symbols on it, and for especially this, I found this true, especially for someone that hasn't played the game before, it can be very confusing. What cards you can play to react to a Bang card, or what does this do? What does this do? Now, it does come with a key card that has the symbols, but it doesn't flow quite as well to me as Family Business and even Guillotine. It doesn't have that flow. It's also a victim of the expansion craze. It's come out with Dodge City and another expansion. And this adds, this even adds more to that problem. You got more of these cards. Now, the expansion of Dodge City does have some interesting characters in it. One of which, one of my favorite, Tequila Joe, is in there. But the, I don't know. It's hard to explain. You if you might enjoy the game. I'm not going to. It's one of those I'm still reserving judgment on as well before I finally give a verdict. Right now, it's on. It's very close to being not recommended by me just because of those reasons, and that I gave. And each of your you have a character and you have a role, like if you're a sheriff, and then you have a character that has a special ability. Like he can, normally you can only play one bang card a turn. Maybe a certain character you're playing can play two. Maybe it takes more bangs or bullets to kill him. You get the idea. Each character has a different ability. And that's basically it. You might want to check it out. It definitely fits into the show, the take that card game. It's very good with a large group, a large number of people. It doesn't work with three, four is borderline. I'd say five or more is what you got to have with this to really make it even try to work. It can be a fun party game. I take that back. It's not going to be a good party game. I tried that. The problem why it doesn't work as a party game is it's a tad too complex to make it a party game. And if you're bringing a lot of new people in, it's just too much. This too much symbols, in my opinion. This experience I've had, I found even Family Business picks up quicker to people that haven't played it, because on the cards in Family Business, you got the correct version, the older version. You do have the explanations, but. Check out Bang. Maybe you might like it. But I'm leaning toward no on Bang right this. We'll be right back, folks. It's Take That. Can you take it? I can take it. Let's take it. Hooah!
Barracuda women in a stormy sea. All they want to do is devour me. I'm sinking fast and I don't know what to do.
Desperate women. Are you desperate, Bubbles? Are you a desperate woman? You were the other night wanting to play, what was that, Carcassonne? Carcassonne, you gotta be desperate wanting to play that. You know, it's have wine and cheese and play Carcassonne. It's not bad. I'm just kidding. It's not a bad game. Oh, look at that. I wanna talk to you guys about this. I just got in a memo here from Dr. Wilhelm Spitz, PhD. He diagnoses game disorders for the League of Untouchable American Gamers. He's out in Costa Mesa in our research facility, and he's working on a cure for cube confusion. Now, if you guys don't know what cube confusion is, it's something that we've been working hard here at the League to try to cure. And let me give you the official definition. If you guys want to look this up, you can look it up on WebMD. Yes, you can. It's on WebMD. Cube confusion is a dazed and confused state of mind a Eurogame player experiences while endlessly pushing around colored cubes on a board. Now, this confusion is coupled with a false sense of euphoria that is short-lived, and later the player seems to have no memory of this pleasure, and he can't recall the details of what caused the sensation. Now, that is cube confusion. We're going to talk about that with Michael next week, about cube confusion. He has seen it out in Atlanta where he is. I've seen it here in Houston. I've seen it on Board Game Geek with some of you guys in your reviews. I've seen cube confusion. And Dr. Wilhelm Schweitz, PhD, who diagnoses game disorders for the League of Untouchable American Gamers, has sent me a memo, and this is great news, folks. Great news. We think he has found a cure for cube confusion. Now, we sent along this vial of medicine, and I know you can't see this, but I'll describe it to you. The medicine he sent is triglycerine T-nitrochlorutinine. I think I pronounced that right. It's in a 1-inch cube. Now, this is funny. I wrote back to the good doctor, Wilhelm Schweitz, PhD. How in the world are you supposed to swallow this 1-inch cube? And he wrote back, he says, it's not a pill. It's a suppository. You guys don't want to get that. Stay tuned. We're going to be back right back with Robert Martin.
The two Latin sisters from Colombia living in the U.S. of A. Their smile just captivates the room, the Americanos don't know what to say. Baby, you look so nice. Your legs are long and lean. You're a little hot tamale and built just right for me. I'm not a Latin lover, yeah, but deep down south they say Esteban St. Manus will steal your heart away. The two Latin sisters were so shy, they blushed as he looked deep in their eyes. He was different from the men they know. He seemed a lot more fun. One thing in his favor is he didn't have a gun. Baby, you look nice. Your legs are long and lean. You're a little hot tamale, yeah, so shake it now for me. I'm not a Latin lover, yeah, but deep down south they say Esteban St. Manus will steal your heart away. The two Latin sisters were impressed, and they were impeccably dressed, for they know all the fashion and where it is at, from their black satin shoes to their little fruit hats. Baby, you look nice. Your legs are long and lean. You're a little hot tamale, yeah, so shake it now for me. I'm not a Latin lover, but deep down south they say Esteban St. Manus will steal your heart away.
Tuned into Steve Weeks here at League Radio, or as they call me south of the border, El Guapo. Now, for those of you that don't know Robert Martin, where in the world have you been? Have you been on Board Game Geek? I think not. The man is a legend there. In case it's slipping your mind right now, he's the guy with the Dracula, the Fury of Dracula on his avatar. That's him. The man who likes teeth in his games. Now, I talked with Robert about a lot of topics, about gaming, the Board Game Geek, and his favorite games. And we're going to talk to Robert right now. Robert, you there?
I'm here.
Hey, this is Steve Weeks from Houston.
Steve, the Mad Gamer Weeks.
Yes, how are you?
Pretty good. How are you?
Good. Let's get right started here. I was looking, I assume by your avatar that the Fury of Dracula is your favorite game. Is that correct?
Yeah, that was a big game with me coming into the hobby.
Now that's the old, is that from the old version of that picture?
It is, yeah. It's from the original, which now, is still my favorite.
Now I was going to ask you about that. I did buy the new Fantasy Flight version. What's the difference between those two, really?
The main difference, I'd say, is that the new one's kind of, I don't know, I don't think Fantasy Flight could really resist the urge to kind of get in there and muck around with it. And so it's got a bunch of kind of additional layers.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you got some kind of pandering to the Eurogamer base also.
Oh, yeah?
So, yeah, I mean, the main beef that I have with it is that they eliminated the player elimination, which just, to me, in a horror game, if you can't kill somebody...
Exactly.
It's not really a horror game
anymore. That's my feeling, too. Now, what about the card mechanism? Isn't that different?
It is, actually. In the old game, you had, as Dracula, you had your own private map, basically, that was hid behind a screen.
Right.
And in the new game, I think... They decided to come up with the mechanism where they use a line of cards.
Right. Do you like that better, or is that worse?
I don't actually like it that much. I mean, I think it works. It works fine.
I've seen a lot of praise for that, actually. I haven't played it myself, so I'm not really...
A lot of people like it, but just comparing between the two, it's a lot more, you know, you're shuffling cards around all the time, trying to find stuff under the table, and, you know, the map I just thought was easier. And
right.
You didn't have all these weird rules about not being able to double back to certain cities and stuff
right.
like that. It was just kind of simpler before, you know, which is kind of... The game overall was a lot simpler in its older incarnation.
So that being said, do you still rate the Fantasy Flight version high or low or what?
Oh, yeah, I think they did a nice job with it overall. And, I mean, I got to give them some props for bringing the thing back out, you know
right.
I mean? They took, you know, one of the greatest games of, you know, modern history, at least, and brought it back into print. So
can you still find that old version on eBay?
What's that?
Can you still find the old version?
You can, you know, and back when I bought it, luckily, it was kind of before it got into its peak.
Right.
But it was very expensive there for a while, especially to get the limited edition. You might pay well over $100.
Wow. So it's almost like a Titan then, huh?
Everybody can buy it now, so that's a good thing.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to try that out and see what I think before we may talk about that again. Now, I was looking on your profile. I found this interesting that you rate zombies rather high at a 7.
Mm-hmm.
And even for Ameritrash gamers, I found that pretty high. Well, I was just curious, how do you play that? Do you go by the standard rules or what?
No, mm-mm. I go by the quick play rules. So it's basically, you know, the game itself is 90% there out of the box.
Right, right. A lot of people won't give up on that game.
And it's a great game once you make a few tweaks to it. So
you just play basically the quick rules then?
Yeah, exactly. They're on the Geek, you know. There's a PDF file, and we just play it with the quick play rules, and it finishes up in about an hour, and you throw some dice, and you kill some zombies, and...
Now, the quick play, does that use... How does that do for movement? Do you still roll the dice for movement?
No. That's one of the things that the quick play got rid of, was a lot of the dice rolling.
Right. That's what I found tedious in it.
Yeah, I mean, you had to roll dice to move, and then you had to roll dice to move zombies.
Exactly.
And then you had to roll dice to fight them, and you're sitting there throwing dice, you know, 20 times every minute. So one of the things that the quick play rules got rid of is the dice rolling for movement, and it just bases your movement off of how much health you have.
Oh, cool. Okay.
So,
well, we're going to get back to games in a minute. I want to talk to you about this whole Ameritrash thing.
Sure.
Now, I got to tell you, I got off. I was on the Geek for a while, then I got off. I turned away from it. I had other things going on. And then when I came back, I see all these posts by Michael, and you, most of them by you, too. But you can't miss Michael's obnoxious avatar. So I see all this, and I was looking back. I was trying to trace when this whole thing kind of sprung up. Can you actually point to a list, or was there an event or something?
Yeah, I mean, the way that it started. You know, Mike and I share a lot of the same tastes in games.
Right.
We play just a lot of kind of what I'd call trashy games. You know, Monsters Menace America and the really nasty horse racing game and zombies.
Speaking of that, what did you think of the reissue of Monsters, Menace of America?
Oh, I think it's great. I just got it the other day.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's a great game.
I have the original one. I found a sealed copy of that.
I've never tried that, actually, but the new one is great.
Yeah, I heard they really upgraded the components on that, right?
They did. You got little plastic monsters and, you know, fighter planes and whatever else. So I think they did a great job with it.
Well, go ahead. You were talking about the movement, the Ameritrash thing. How did that...
Yeah, you know, I guess the two of us, you know, we don't really have any kind of boundaries as far as what we're willing to play. You know, a lot of people kind of set their bar at a certain level, and they're not willing to play a game unless it's got some kind of elegant mechanic.
Right. I don't know about you, but this is the feeling I got. When I was on the Geek, I felt it was like almost totally Euro, and they were just including those Ameritrash games just for the sake of completeness.
Yeah, I think, you know, I've been in the hobby since about 99.
Right.
And, you know, especially back then and less so recently, it was all about the Euro games.
Right.
And, you know, they definitely brought a lot of great things to the hobby, but there were a lot of things that were lost, too, you know. So I guess, you know, we play a lot of those kind of vintage-style games. And more
and you actually do play with Michael, right?
What's that?
You actually do game with Michael Barnes?
Yeah, we do. We're in a regular gaming group each week, so we play a lot of the older kind of trashy stuff. But we were laughing one day because I think he got email from somebody that was telling him he was an Ameritrash apologist or something dumb like that. And so the next day, I came into work, and I was like, that was actually pretty funny. I'm going to make a list called A Tribute to Ameritrash. And so I just
so
made
you're the start. He actually, Michael, I was talking with him about it. He calls you the figurehead of the movement.
Well, so, I don't know if I'd really even call it a movement. You know, I mean, like
well,
I said, I...
Well, you know, you recently put up this, what is it, the all these definitions... Help me out here. Were you submitted it to Aldi?
Yeah, I put it on the wiki page.
The wiki, yeah.
I just got tired of everybody saying, what is this? You know, nobody knows what it is.
Yeah, and he seemed to like it, too. I saw a comment by Aldi on there.
You know what? I think he actually just liked the fact that somebody was using the wiki for once. So.
Now, when we talk about this Ameritrash, are we actually calling these games trashy?
No. Well, you know, I'm not calling them trash like they would be tossed in a trash can. Well, and, you know, it just kind of goes in keeping with a lot of the kind of movies that, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
A lot of people just enjoy things that they call trashy, but they think they're great.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I mean, Star Wars, right?
Exactly.
We all love that, but it's trashy, you know. It's a space soap opera. So, you know, a lot of things that have a trashy element to them can be fun.
Right.
And, you know, I guess, you know, over the years, you know, when I'd go to these game gatherings and I'd break out Kremlin or I'd break out Dungeon Quest or a lot of these older style games, you know, people would kind of come around and you'd get all these kind of comments like, you know, you guys aren't really going to play that, are you? Or, you know, I didn't know anyone still played that kind of game. You know?
Let's talk about that. You mentioned Dungeon Quest. I mentioned in one of my podcasts that I on Michael's recommendation, I bought that. And I think we all three agree on that, you, me, and Michael. I took that, and that game really fools you because you think it's, I know Greg Schlosser calls it all luck, but I think the appeal of it is just trying to get out alive. And the detail in it.
Oh yeah, it's all about the atmosphere. But you know, in my opinion, that game has never been surpassed as a dungeon crawl. I mean, you've got, you know, Descent now. You've got Doom. You got all these other dungeon crawl games. It's a very popular genre. But to me, Dungeon Quest is the best.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. And actually, I was the only one to get out over the Christmas break. I got out alive, believe it or not.
Yeah, that happens occasionally, I hear.
Yeah. You mentioned earlier that how you and Michael have a lot of taste, and I think a lot of the complaints that we've got is that we all seem to agree that, you know, we all trash the same things and everything. But I was looking on your profile. I noticed you give Kalos a 1. And this is definitely an area I totally disagree with you in. I give it lower than a 1.
Lower than a 1. You know, the thing to me is, you know, I used to try everything and play everything and enjoy everything. And I've just gotten to the point where, you know, if a game looks like a spreadsheet, I'm really not interested in playing it.
Yeah, I...
It's got to draw me in somehow or another. You know, I can do spreadsheets at work.
Right. So what do you do for work, by the way?
I write financial software.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Are there any new games out there you're looking forward to coming out?
Well, I've been really enjoying that new Twilight Imperium expansion. That really kind of cleaned the game up a lot.
Oh, yeah?
You know, but I'm not really in a big purchasing mode these days anymore.
Yeah, if you're like me, I got a big backlog of stuff that I haven't played yet.
Yeah, I mean, I read about these people that have like 300 and 400 games that are still in shrink wrap and all that. And
I think Schlosser has had to put an extra wing onto his house for his game collection.
Well, that's not uncommon in this hobby, you know?
Let's talk about this moderation system on the board game. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, it's been in place for about a month now, and
I think it's working, not working? What are your thoughts?
I think it's working overall. It seems to have kind of settled in. In the beginning, I thought it was a miserable failure because, you know, there were no guidelines for the thumbs down. And so everything was just kind of a big war over what people thought was, you know, agreeing with their opinion.
Exactly,
what people thought wasn't. And that, I thought, was really counterproductive.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it seems to be working now.
What do you think, let me ask you this question. Michael Barnes, is he good or bad for the hobby?
I think he's definitely good because, you know, the problem with the hobby to me, you get all these people talking about how the hobby is not going to grow and how it's not bringing new people in. And really, I think that a large part of the problem with the hobby is that it just takes itself way too seriously.
I agree with that. Now, why do you think some of Michael's posts irritate people so much?
Well, I think there's just kind of been a party line that you're supposed to toe on that website for a long time.
I agree with that, right. And we thank you guys for bringing this out.
Yeah, and, you know, there's more of a sort of an emerging element on the site that's kind of fed up with that and just wants to promote, you know, a different viewpoint.
Right. Have you looked at Greg Schlosser's International Game Awards?
I have, yeah. I used to follow that when I was more into the Euro game.
What do you think of those?
I think, you know, any award is gonna promote gaming, and so I think that's good. And I think the International Gamers Award is designed for gamers.
Right.
As an award for the mainstream public, I don't think it's particularly selecting games that people would like, but you know, I enjoyed St. Petersburg back when I played it, but it's not something that you'd bring your uncle into the hobby with.
I don't know. What game would you pull out if you were going to play with a group of non-gamers to kind of suck them into the hobby?
Well, you know, I've hosted game groups since at least 99. I've had pretty much a solid game group going the whole time. And
right.
You know, I tend to enjoy gaming with non-gamers because they just don't take things so seriously.
Exactly, yeah.
But, you know, a lot of, like, I've had a lot of luck with something like the really nasty horse racing game.
What do you think of Royal Turf?
Royal Turf really doesn't do a whole lot for me. I used to own it, and it kind of sucks all the fun out of, you know, the genre of horse racing. I'm a big horse racing fan myself, so.
What's the best horse racing game out there, in your opinion?
That's actually one of my favorite genres. I'd say in terms of pure fun, it's got to be the really nasty horse racing game.
Now, is that still in print?
It is, yeah. It's been through several editions, actually. And it's a little tough to get. I think you have to import it from England. I did when I got mine.
Yeah.
But it's a great game. It's really a lot of fun. And it's one of these games where it's just got this dumb roll and move system. But, you know, the whole thing...
Why do they call it... What's the nasty element of it?
Well, the whole game... You know, the game really centers around betting. For one, and anytime you got money involved in anything, things are going to get nasty.
Right.
But number one, you've got a lot of leeway in how you run your horse.
Uh huh.
So if you're betting on somebody else's horse, and if yours has, you know, some pretty good odds on it, you can run your own horse badly so that everyone else loses their bets on you. And maybe if you're lucky, you can use your horse to block the other guys that you don't want to win.
Right.
That's kind of one way, but then more so it comes with the deck of event cards, and so you've got, you know, all kinds of cards that you can play to knock people's horses out of the race. And, you know, it's got, the thing that I like about it is you got really kind of dramatic turns of events every couple of minutes. So you got people throwing money across the room, and you know, as Michael Barnes said in one of his recent postings, in one of our recent games, he threw a chair across.
Is that true? He actually threw a chair?
Yeah, he did. And apparently he cut himself in the process.
Was anybody hurt?
So I don't think that in your typical game of Carcassonne, you draw blood. So that's why I like it.
All right. Let's talk about what do you think of the other reviewers, and these reviewers that get free game? Do you free games? What's your view on that? You don't see it as a big deal, or you see
it doesn't really bother me, because, you know, like I said, I try not to take this hobby seriously.
Right.
So if you can kind of tell the guys that you know are getting the free games, right?
Yeah.
And once you know that they're getting a free game, you know to kind of take the review with a grain of salt.
Right. Now, are you going to be doing any more reviews on the website?
I used to do more than I do now. It's very time-consuming to write up a decent review.
Mm-hmm.
But in the case of Cities and Nights, I took probably 2 or 3 or 4 years where I never tried that expansion because I read a lot of bad reviews and people complaining about it.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, when I finally did try it, I was amazed at how much I liked it.
Did you give that a 10?
Yeah, I did. I did. That's one of my favorite games. So I wanted to put something out there to just kind of counteract some of the negativity that you see out there.
Right. That's why I haven't picked it up yet, because I see all this, everybody just cuts. It's the same, makes the game longer.
Oh, you read about all these people where it takes 5 hours and...
Right, exactly.
They're complaining about the luck, and it just sounds like it just totally destroys the game. And to me, it was like rediscovering Settlers all over again.
Really, really?
Yeah, it's great.
Now, you've had a lot of criticism on Kinesia, on his games. I think... In one of the postings, Barnes quoted you as calling him a puppy mill.
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of an off-the-cuff remark, you know. I mean, to me, Kinesia is kind of like any designer. He's got good stuff and he's got bad stuff. So, I mean, I like Lord of the Rings. I like Lord of the Rings Confrontation. I really enjoy Ivanhoe, which is a card game that he did. So.
Right.
And I've got a lot of respect for a lot of his games, but he also makes a lot
of... He seems to be very inconsistent, though.
I think he's actually, to me, I'd say he's actually very consistent.
Really?
But, you know, when I said he was a puppy mill, you get a lot of retread from him where it's just the same game with a couple of things tweaked.
Right.
And, it kind of seems like people are willing, you know, if it's got the Kinesia name on it, it must be a good game.
Exactly. You attend this Atlanta Game Fest, right?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, but my brother said that actually Ward has set that up pretty good, and he said he does it right out there.
Yeah, it's a pretty good event. It's a pretty good event, and we got a pretty good mixed crowd, and it's good size, and you know, we draw some people from all over the Southeast, so it's a good time.
All right. Well, I appreciate you talking with us tonight, Robert.
No problem. Thanks for the call.
Thanks a lot.
Keep up the good work with the show.
All right. Thanks for coming on.
Sounds good.
There he was, Robert Martin, Platinum Pawn Award winner for Best Game Reviewer on Board Game Geek. We're going to be right back, folks. I got one more kick-butt card game for you. See you in a second. I set out to see Maria. Mi amigo said, don't go, senor. Maria no longer loves you. Maria won't see you no more. So why don't you turn around? Don't be bound by the strings pulled by Maria. Like dominoes, heart after heart keeps falling down. If destiny is bringing you two together, if destiny's sure being mean to you, just forget about Maria. Guess I'll listen to my compadre, wise advice
still thinking about Maria. And it's so hard to turn around, but I got to turn around and won't be bound by the strings pulled by Maria. Like dominoes, heart after heart keeps falling, falling down. If destiny is bringing us together, destiny's sure being mean to me. Just forget about Maria.
Welcome back, folks. I'm just getting ready here, getting my robe on here as I prepare to take the field of combat. I'm going to be doing a kung fu demonstration. Now, kung fu fighting is a take that card game that allows up to six players to punch, throw, and kick it out in a martial arts melee. Now, tonight, I will be up against three fierce opponents. As I walk out to the mat in the Oriental Garden, I see the wise Kung Fu master. He rises and he bangs the gong. Entering from the west, my worthy opponent, Tom Vassell, he bows to the Kung Fu master. Entering from the east is Aldi. He also bows to the Kung Fu master. And from the north, Greg Schlosser, the Slossinator. The Slossinator bows, and now combat begins. Now in this game, each player has a stat card that has the amount of chi or health they have. Normally, this is at 20 points, but since Aldi was up all night tweaking the moderation system, his chi is only at 1. Now Tom also had a busy night stacking up a bunch of new games that he just got in, so his chi is also at 1. The Slossinator has a little more endurance. He was up all night writing reviews, but still his chi, or health, is at 5. The first thing I do, I look over my hand of 7 cards and decide if I want to keep these cards or discard them and draw new ones up to a hand of 7. Now your stat card has 2 placeholders for 2 cards, 1 placeholder for a Kung Fu stance card. So I'm going to go into a stance here, getting ready to attack. I'm going to play this snake stance and put it on my card. Now there's also a place for a weapon, but I'm not going to play a weapon, not yet. So I play my first attack card. It's going to be a kick. I play a kick card, and this card normally does 3 points of damage. But I can also play attack enhancement cards to increase this damage. So I play a spinning kick, a spinning card, and that adds 1 additional point. So this turns into a spinning kick. I also play a split attack card, which allows me to attack both Tom and Aldi at the same time. Now I do a spinning kick at Tom and Aldi. Now Aldi has an umbrella as a weapon on his card. Aldi tries to block my spinning kick with his umbrella, but the umbrella only provides 1 point of defense. But Aldi does have the option of discarding the umbrella card to ignore my attack, and this is what he does. So he's okay for now. Tom has an Oriental fan in front of his face as a weapon. I know that sounds funny. He's batting his eyes at me, and it kind of freaks me out. So I get so disgusted, I lay a spinning kick to his gut. The spinning kick does a total of 4 points of damage. The fan that Tom had up provides him with 3 points of defense, so Tom takes 1 point, which is enough to send him down to the mat. I then turn to Aldi, and Aldi screams and charges at me like a rhino. I catch him off balance, and I play a throw card. I throw Aldi, he takes 2 points of damage, which is enough to leave him out cold on the mat next to Tom. I look dead ahead at the Slossinator. My turn's over. The Slosnerator assumes the monkey stance. He plays a monkey stance card. Now, one of the things the monkey stance does is give Greg a +2 to any punch. So Greg plays a punch card, and he plays an attack enhancement card, which and turns it into a magnificent punch. Very good, Greg. Very, very good. So Greg delivers the punch, and this normally would do 6 points of damage with all the enhancements and his monkey stance. But I play a defense card from my hand which says, Greg, your kung fu is no match for mine. This card negates the Slosnerator's attack and allows me to immediately attack him. I grab a bamboo pole leaning against the wall. I play the bamboo pole card as a weapon. Now, the bamboo pole normally does only 2 points of damage, but I can discard the card to deliver a mighty blow of 5 points. Plus, I'm in the snake stance, which does +2 against Greg in the monkey stance. I do this, and the Slosnerator takes 7 points of damage and falls like a limp noodle to the mat. Two Oriental beauties come to assist me back to my room as Tom, Aldi, and the Slosnerator are carried off on stretchers. Wow, that was intense, wasn't it? You know, a lot of people, when I do these, I did that demo the last time with Magblast, and now I'm doing it with Kung Fu Fighting, fighting my arch enemies. And I got accused in the last one of stacking the deck. I wouldn't do that. I'm telling you, folks, I'm pulling out the game, shuffling the cards, and this is just how they're coming out. I wouldn't stack the deck at all. I would not stack it. I'm telling you that. Anybody else doing this show that on a demo, you know what they would do. They'd be playing that Kung Fu Fighting song. Can you imagine? I was just thinking, can you imagine Sinatra or... Yeah, Sinatra singing that song. Everybody was kung fu fighting. Everybody was fast as lightning. Well, that's what a great show we had. Now, I want you folks to stop by next week because we got him here. That's right, Michael Barnes. The great interview. It took me a lot, I tell you, to get this interview. He sent me a list of all these demands. And I met the demands, one of which was he wanted me to join his website. He's going to be talking a little bit about that. I don't know. And he wanted me to, another demand was he wanted me to send him a list of the questions so he doesn't make an ass out of himself. And that was kind of funny because I'm thinking, it's a little late for that, Michael. But anyway, we had fun. I want to thank Robert Martin for stopping by, and I want to thank you guys out there for listening. Arrivederci, adios, sayonara. Keep your comments coming. This is Steve Weeks, the Mad Gamer, signing off from Houston, Texas.